You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
We are ready to go. Midweek Wednesday here in Eastern Iowa. It is the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN as well as 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Isaac Elzinga, all with you here today, taking you through the 3 o'clock hour from the Eakin Nutrition Studios here on the southwest side. We got a good show coming up for you. He's usually Thursdays, but he's Wednesday this week. Kevin Lehman, the coach, is going to join us as he had the call of a big one last night. Cincinnati and Texas came right down to the wire. He is back in Eastern Iowa, and we'll talk college hoops with the coach in our off-the-glass segment. We will do that coming up here in just a little bit. A little NFL news for you today. We'll look back at the big win for the Iowa State men's basketball team on a topsy-turvy night of college basketball and more. Love to hear from you out there. And the text line always open at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. And if you're wondering about Mark Ironside, he will be on with us coming up tomorrow. Had to switch out Wednesday for Thursday for this week. But we'll talk to Mark tomorrow, courtesy of Kurt Gustafson, Agency of American Family Insurance. Kurt, located on Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids. And our thanks to Kurt and everybody that helps us out here on 1600 ESPN. Gentlemen, good afternoon to you. Mark, how you doing?
Doing good, Scott. Good afternoon to you and Isaac and everyone out there. And yeah, Kevin's getting to know a lot of airports these days, and hopefully he took your advice and can find his vehicle in the airport lot.
There could be a foot of snow on it, though. I don't think anybody came by and, you know, got it all road ready for Kevin. So he better give himself about 10 minutes when he gets back into town. He's already back into town, but I hope he found it and, you know, got everything off the car.
It probably took him as long as the flight from Chicago to Cedar Rapids. I don't know.
Probably did. Isaac, how you doing? You're here? You made it out okay?
Yes, I almost did not. I was getting very frustrated. I was almost stuck in the lot at my apartment complex. I was getting very angry. It took me a while to dig my car out. I almost texted Kate or Ryan that they had to come in because I was just about to give up. And then the last try, I got through. So I'm here, safe. Glad I did not come in yesterday because I saw several cars on my way up here.
Yeah, we made it in. I think the final tally of 12 inches here in Cedar Rapids? Was that the case?
It sounds about right.
Yeah, I mean, it varied between, you know, anywhere in Eastern Iowa, 10 to 13. I know Iowa City got a little bit more. They had a little bit of heavier band, I guess, that went through. And we got more snow coming possibly later on tonight, definitely Thursday night into Friday. So, hey, we're here, and then it's going to get cold. So I don't mind the snow. I don't want 12 inches of snow. I hate the cold. I hate 4 below for the high. That just, no. Nope. Can't do that.
Yeah, because then everything ices over, and it's also still really unsafe to drive because things, you know, unfreeze and then they freeze back up. It's just be safe. Yeah. Be very safe around this time.
Very good. Very good. Jeff, you may be right that Mark had other things to do today, and it might be the last day of a certain season that Mark enjoys. So, you know what? We're going to have Mark on Thursday. It's not going to be a big problem. As long as Kevin was able to come on Wednesday, we're going to be okay. 319-366-1600. Mark, your guy is coming today, right, to do your driveway?
That's on the schedule, yes. perhaps perhaps during the show. So if you hear some commotion, he's here, man.
He's here. And, you know, not only do we give all kinds of kudos to Kurt Gustafson for being one of our great sponsors, the sponsor for Mark Ironside's visit each week, but Kurt got me in touch with a guy. I know a guy now. So Operation
Snowblower update.
Operation Snowblower is in motion as we speak. Hopefully by tonight, we're going to be up and running. So that is good news.
That is good news. And the city and the independent contractors have done a tremendous job, I think. And you know, I think one of the issues is alleyways. And in some of the older neighborhoods, you've got alley entrances to the garage. And the city isn't obligated to do that. And you got to find a guy or gal, such as the case, to take care of the alleyway. So I guess there's always an issue somewhere along the line, huh?
Always, always. 319-366-1600. So hunker down, could see some more snow coming up tonight. Despite the fact that they had many, many inches of snow, almost as much as we had here in the eastern part of the state of Iowa, kudos to everyone that showed up at Hilton Coliseum last night. It's just, it warms your heart to see a full house on a night like that. Now, granted, the number two team and the final undefeated team in the country was coming in for their first ever Big 12 road game, Kelvin Sampson and the Houston Cougars. But I tell you what, the Iowa State fans continue to amaze me by their perseverance. They were tailgating. There were pictures of tailgating earlier in the day while the snow was still going on in Ames. And they were a big part of the 14-0 start last night as Iowa State defeated Houston, knocking off the final unbeaten in the country as the Cyclones went at 57-53. Milan Momcilovic with the shot heard around Central Iowa in the Big 12 last night.
Yeah, and he said the crowd has as much as he did towards winning that game. And, you know, you're quite right. It's a great fan base for basketball in Ames. There's a lot of students there, even though they, you know, didn't have class or whatever. What else are they going to do? They're going to walk to the game and have a good time. And indications that they did. And this was played kind of at Iowa State's pace. You know, Houston's one of the bigger defensive teams in the country, and many times it showed why. But Iowa State forced Houston into 16 turnovers, very uncharacteristic, and that was a joy to watch. Really was.
Really was. And it was 14-0. Give Houston credit for coming back. It's a Houston team, and I thought Fran Fraschilla hit it right on the head last night. Yeah, they're going to lose more games. I think Kelvin Sampson knows that. The college basketball experts, everybody that follows college basketball knows that. Going from the AAC to the Big 12 is a big step. I think it was a perfect time for Iowa State to get Houston early in the season. Like I said, their first Big 12 road game ever. I don't think Houston was quite ready for that moment and just weren't executing offensively. Iowa State had a lot to do with that. You mentioned the turnovers. Houston came into that game averaging, I think, 8 turnovers, and Iowa State turned them over 16 times. Cyclones just did enough offensively, and like I said, Momcilovic, that shot at the end, I'm not sure I'm buying the whole Fran Fraschilla's, oh, he saw a big guy coming from the opposite side, so he turned the other way. I think he just hoisted the ball at the end of the shot clock, and for Cyclone fans, very happy that it went in. And then Houston went down court and took a horrible, horrible long three with about 12 seconds left, and that was it.
Yeah, it was a huge shot. There's no question about it. And then Momcilovic made two big free throws to widen the lead to 4 and pretty much put the game out of reach. But This was a terrific win for Iowa State, obviously, whenever you beat the number two team in the country. I could care less about the net, but that's going to improve Iowa State in the net. Every team they play in the Big 12 is pretty much going to be the same thing. I'm not going to lose a whole lot of ground unless you reel off seven or eight straight losses, but I don't see that happening with Iowa State. Lipsy was very solid, I thought. Boy, Houston puts a lot of pressure on defense, and Iowa State was just enough to win that one.
Cyclone Tim sending us a big logo of Cy dribbling a basketball. Very happy with that win last night. And Houston on most of the bracketology still with a one seed, and you know, losing obviously to Hilton at Hilton Coliseum is not going to drop you. It certainly did more to help Iowa State than it did to hurt Houston last night. See if you get this adage, Mark. Watching Houston this year and watching them especially last night for 40 minutes, it's a Houston team. You remember the old Steve McGraw Waterloo East teams, right?
Sure do.
When they had just so many athletes, played great defense, and weren't a great, solid offensive team, but their best offense was just shoot the ball and go get it. This Houston team reminds me of those Steve McGraw Waterloo East teams.
Yes, but the guard play is terrific and really is what brought Houston back in this game. But, you know, we've got a long ways to go before selection weekend in the NCAA tournament. But, you know, when you fill out your brackets, you're going to have to think twice about not advancing Houston.
Yeah, LJ Cryer did not have a good game last night. Averaging 21 a game, and he ended up with five. Helped out, though, by Emmanuel Sharp, the sophomore for Houston. Had a nice game last night. But we'll talk about Texas and Cincinnati. Texas got a win they needed on the road as well, and Kevin had the call on that one. So we will talk more about that one with him here in just a little bit with our usual Thursday segment on a Wednesday this week. Of off the glass. Big Ten ball last night. Holy cow. We warned folks, Mark. We warned them. Purdue was in a spot to lose. And not only did number two go down last night, number one went down last night. And it really wasn't that close.
No, it was 88-72 in favor of Nebraska. And quite a home environment for the Cornhuskers, and I agreed with you wholeheartedly that this is a team to watch out for. 13-3 now, and beating the number one team in the country. 14 threes on the day, or on the night. Most by Nebraska in a game this year. And next up is Iowa on Friday night. Two out of the three Nebraska losses have come on the road. So we'll see about that one.
Can I say Tominaga, the man from Japan, leading the way last night with 19 points. And the Huskers also got a really good game from C.J. Wilcher coming off the bench. He was in double figures with 16. But I don't think anybody's shocked by that. I'm more shocked last night, Mark, by how bad Indiana looked again. Seat is getting, just talking with embedded folks in Indiana who follow the situation, that seat has gone from lukewarm to really, really hot today after the Hoosiers lost last night to Rutgers.
Yeah, and I'm anxious to talk to Kevin Lehman, not only about the Hoosiers, but Michigan, Michigan State. And what's going on with those teams and what's ahead and what can be expected. And I thought Indiana would win that game, but I mean, life is tough sometimes in the Big Ten, and Indiana hasn't done much to demonstrate it's going to survive too much.
Big couple of games tonight in the Big Ten. It will be Northwestern at Penn State. That's an early start. Both these games are on the Big Ten Network tonight. Northwestern is at Penn State. Can the Cats get a road win in the league? And Penn State really, really needs to hold serve at home. And then the marquee matchup tonight is Wisconsin in Columbus to take on Ohio State. Buckeyes 12-3, Wisconsin coming in at 11-3. And Badgers playing as well as anybody in the country right now.
Yeah, they handily beat Nebraska previous to Nebraska's game against Purdue. And you're right, they are playing extremely well, and especially so at home.
Kansas goes to Central Florida tonight. That in the Big 12. Oklahoma is at TCU. And closer to home in the Missouri Valley, big one in Des Moines tonight for the Drake Bulldogs. They host Indiana State, the top team in the Missouri Valley after Indiana State really took care of UNI over the weekend. And Drake fell. Drake really can't afford two losses in a row. Especially tonight, Mark, if the Valley is thinking of two in the tournament, I got to think Drake's got to win tonight.
Yeah, I don't think Drake's the only contender there either. I know Belmont's lost maybe four or five games, but that's a very capable team as well. But, this is a huge clash tonight. I've been very impressed with the Sycamores, some against Michigan State. Saw a little bit of the UNI game. That ended up, I think, 11 points, but Indiana State, it's a really, really good basketball team.
Really good basketball team, and they'll be at the Knapp Center coming up this evening. We'll talk more college basketball with the coach, Kevin Lehman, coming up in just a little bit. It is 3:21. Again, if you'd like to weigh in, 319-366-1600. That is the text line, always available and always open to you. Phone line as well at 319-366-1600. Of course, we look forward to wild card, super wild card weekend. It's not wild card weekend anymore, Isaac. It is super wild card weekend. It's that much better. We'll see.
I don't know. There's some good games.
Oh, there's some great games. Great games. We'll talk more about those. We're going to pick those games coming up, correct, Mark, on Friday?
We are indeed. And I'm really interested. The game on Peacock, Kansas City and Miami, and a lot of people just talking about, you know, Miami's lack of success, losing 10 in a row in sub-40 degree temperatures, and it's supposed to be much worse than that in Kansas City. But I'm thinking to myself, I don't care who you are, 10 below or whatever, it's cold for Kansas City too, right? So, I mean, maybe even more so for Miami. I get it. It's one of many fascinating games, I think, and a lot. There's going to be some upsets, guaranteed.
Chiefs receivers can't catch the ball when it's warm. Maybe they're better when it's zero. I don't know. It's going to be unseasonably cold Saturday night at Arrowhead. Could be one of the coldest playoff games in NFL history. They are looking definitely at top 10, maybe even top 5 coldest games ever. For the NFL when it comes to the postseason. So we'll keep our eye on that. That is coming up on Saturday night. By the way, if you don't have Peacock, we will join up with that game probably late first quarter or so after the Iowa State men's basketball game against Okie State on Saturday. So if you don't have Peacock, just go ahead and tune it in right here to 1600 ESPN as well as 102.3 and 106.3 FM. Off the field today, and I got to admit, Mark, and we'll have more coaching news coming up on the Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update brought to you by Emil's on First Avenue Southeast. We'll do that coming up in just a little bit. But I got to admit, this one really surprised and shocked me today as Pete Carroll is out as the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks. He is rumored to be staying in the organization at some level, but he is not going to be the coach. And yet another example of what have you done for me lately in the world of sports.
Yeah, I think this one took everyone by surprise. But Carroll apparently is going to stay on and advisory capacity, but it brings to 7 the number of openings, head coaching openings in the NFL. And you can't dispute Carroll's success in Seattle. I mean, the best years of that franchise's existence, 14 years, I think 10 or 12 playoff berths, a Super Bowl. But Carroll, it was a pretty spry 72, but 72 is 72. And 14 years is 14 years. And it sounded like a mutual parting of the ways, but is it ever?
It's not. And listen, I respect Pete Carroll. I think Pete Carroll is a whale of a football coach. Have I agreed with everything he has done? Absolutely not. But 72 or not, this guy can coach football. And maybe there's an opening for him somewhere. I don't know. Maybe one of these 7 jobs is going to intrigue him. And he will, say thanks for the memories, Seattle, and head somewhere else. It's possible. I know Mike Vrabel is not going to be out of work long. I think he's going to slide into one of those 7 openings as far as head coaching jobs in the National Football League is concerned. Tennessee did not want to trade him, which sounds weird, but that's kind of the way we are in 2024. But instead, they just said, okay, we're going to let you go at this point. And the same thing with Pete Carroll coming up with a mutual agreement to depart Seattle. And yeah, he had some good talent. There's no doubt about it. But they were right there for a playoff spot in the last hour of the last weekend of the NFL season. He's not forgotten how to coach.
No, not in the least. And I agree with you totally on Vrabel. You know, it's a natural connection to place him in New England, but New England still has a coach. And, these guys seem to recycle themselves. I don't know. A lot of teams among the 6, now 7, are quote-unquote interviewing possible successors to the head coaching position. But I really think that maybe not all, but some are waiting to see if Jim Harbaugh is absolutely not going to go to the NFL.
Well, I know one team he won't go to, at least this year anyway. We'll get to that coming up here in just a couple of moments with an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. We're going to get to Kevin Lehman coming up here in just a little bit, and a very special, yes, Isaac, a very special Bowling Night in America preview coming up tonight. If you ever wanted to go to Bowling Night in America, Isaac, this might be your night. Just throwing that out there.
Will there be good seating?
Oh, well, on a night like tonight, the seats are going to be hard to come by. They're going to be hard to come by, but I will get you a seat if you guarantee that you will come out and watch bowling tonight.
I can't guarantee that.
More on that coming up in just a little bit, but first we want to get it to Mark for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It's brought to you by the good folks at Emil's Hideaway and First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, and they are open at 4 o'clock Monday through Saturday. They are back open today, a fully stocked bar and a family-friendly dining room, plus catering, online ordering, and curbside pickup and delivery. Check them out at emilshideaway.com. What do we got today?
Continuing in the NFL, it appears the Chicago Bears are going to retain head coach Eberflus, but offensive coordinator Lou Getsy and 2 other offensive assistants are out the door. The Chicago Cubs have acquired Shoto Imanaga, one of the top pitchers in Japan. He's slotted, the left-hander is slotted for a mid-rotation starter in the Cubs lineup. The Sony Open in Hawaii opens tomorrow. Zach Johnson in action. Zach is on a world money exemption for 1 year. Thus, he's in many fields. He will start at 11:40 Central Time in a group that includes Vincent Norman and Cameron Champ. Pat McAfee has axed Aaron Rodgers for his weekly segment on his television show. After comments Rodgers made this week in a feud with Jimmy Kimmel. Rogers had been paid seven figures to appear on the McAfee show, and McAfee says it's the only thing I could possibly do. Finally, the Iowa State wrestling team turned out to be heroes, principally Julian Broderson. Apparently, a one-year-old had wandered off from his family in an Arizona hotel where the Cyclones were staying, and Broderson found the youngster in a parking garage and returned him to his family. So congratulations to the team that searched the property and to Broderson in particular.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool story right there. Aaron Rodgers is getting seven... Listen, we purposely not talked about this story, Mark, because it's been just talked way too much, this feud between Jimmy Kimmel and Aaron Rodgers. It's, you know, whatever. You're on one side or you're on the other side or you don't care. Frankly, I don't care. I was just absolutely floored by the fact that Aaron Rodgers is getting seven figures to appear on that show.
Well, he wasn't going on for the hell of it. I know that. But I watched several episodes of McAfee, and I Rogers commenting about his recovery and this, that, and the other. But when it got into Kimball and his various associations, apparent associations, and COVID, I think it became too much for McAfee and many others. So next time we hear about Aaron Rodgers, probably be tomorrow somewhere along.
Of course. Got to talk about Aaron Rodgers every once in a while. 319-366-1600. We're going to talk college basketball when we come back. The coach, Kevin Lehman, is going to join us for our off-the-glass segment. So stay tuned for that on a Wednesday edition of the Gym Class right here on 1600 ESPN. Stay with us. More to come right after this.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. And after a mostly quiet day, we are going to have a chance for snow, mainly after 4 p.m. A dusting to around 3 inches will be possible by the time it's all said and done around midnight. Then tomorrow will be cloudy and mostly quiet. Temperatures will be in the low 20s. We are going to have a stronger storm system approaching the area as we head into tomorrow night and Friday. There are some uncertainties in how it pans out, but strong winds and snow could lead to difficult travel Friday. That's your latest Weather First forecast.
Scott Unash for your neighborhood Quickstar. And I know you've heard me talk about Quickstar's quick hot savings and everything you can save on before, but I have to say the savings on everyday items that you need, like bread, milk, butter, fruit. I love stopping by, picking up some bananas. They make your family's dollar go farther. The savings have really, really added up, especially in between the large grocery trips. And let's be honest, it's Quickstar. I don't need a lot of excuses to stop there. I do every morning. Stop, get something to drink, and just pick up whatever I need at Quickstar. And that includes Kitchen Cravings, boneless pork loin chops, 99 cents with a limit of 5. Also, you can pick up Kitchen Cravings cheese slices, Colby Jack and Cheddar, $1.99, limit 2. And if you're a cappuccino aficionado, they have Caruba Gold Cappuccino, 16 ounces, 2 for $3.50, and you can't leave Quickstar without those famous Glazer donuts, 6 count for $2.99. Again, that's at your neighborhood Quickstar.
The world's on fire. Attacks in the Middle East, Ukraine and Russia at war. And right here, Joe Biden has created a dangerous threat to every American. Biden's open border policies have opened the floodgates to a record number streaming in, 12,000 in one day alone. This means increased terrorist threats and even more deadly fentanyl being delivered to our neighborhoods. President Trump will change that. He'll secure our borders by building even more wall. He'll end visitors from terrorist countries being allowed to enter. And Trump will treat the drug cartels the same as he treated terrorists who kill Americans. President Trump, the strength to protect our borders and our families.
I'm Donald Trump, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Pick
paid for by Donald J. Trump for President 2024, Inc.
Life's better when you're under our roof because our agents can help you choose insurance to help protect what matters most. Life insurance from American Family Life Insurance Company can help financially protect your loved ones by replacing a portion of your income if you were to pass away. That means your family could have the help they need to continue to pursue their dreams.
Contact Kirk Gustafson, agent at 1715 Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids, or call 319-363-7214 today.
Products not available in all states. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
American Family Insurance.
3:34, back with you. It is a Wednesday edition of the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN, KGYM, Eastern Iowa's home for sports. Text line available to you if you have a college basketball query for our next guest, usually on Thursdays, joining us on Wednesday this week. And that is the coach, Kevin Lehman, our Off the Glass segment, one day earlier, but not for a lack of things to talk about. And, first of all, Kevin, how much snow was on the car when you got back to the Eastern Iowa airport?
I'm still scraping it off. So I would say 10 inches is my guess, but it's still, I'm still working on it, Scott.
Still working
on it. I took a picture. I knew where the car was at. That was, I learned that from last week.
There you go. There you go. It's already paying dividends for that. Well, before we get to anything, you saw a whale of a game last night. A lot of people kind of down on Texas as of late. Needed to get a signature win, and they got a signature win last night.
They really didn't have anything on the resume, and they lost at home to Tech. Only the second loss in that new arena, Moody Arena, that Texas had. And they came in a man down with Shedrick, their center, who transferred in from Virginia. Couldn't play because of back spasms, but Dylan Dessou, if you remember him last year, he got hurt when he was Sweet 16 and didn't play against Miami. A lot of people think Texas would have been a Final Four team if Dessou would have been healthy. Foot surgery, he had 33 last night, 21 in the first half. And Tyrese Hunter, I'd say an average game from the ex-Cyclone. He had 10 points, but it was one of those games that went back and forth. The first home game in the Big 12 for Cincinnati, and that place was rocking.
Kevin, last night, more surprising to you, Purdue going down or Houston going down or neither?
Well, I think I'm more surprised that Purdue went down. I thought that Houston would have problems at Hilton. This is two teams that was going to be all about defense with Houston and Iowa State, a real slugfest. I didn't get a chance to watch it since I was on air at the same time. So Houston doesn't surprise me, but Purdue losing at Nebraska, we've been talking about Fred Hoiberg's team, Tominaga and that team that he's got, Rink Mast. That was surprising because I didn't think it could match up with Edie, but evidently they did a pretty good job in keeping him under control.
Really did. And, you know, starting with Purdue, first of all, this Nebraska team is not going to sneak up on anybody this year. They shot the three very well last night. I mean, held anytime you kind of hold Edie to 15, you got a really good chance. The guards did score last night for Purdue, but that's a Nebraska team. Fred Hoiberg's put together a very good bunch. He's kind of done it in the same formula he did at Iowa State and other places. But this is a Nebraska team that's not going to sneak up on anybody this year.
Well, Rick Mast, who, you know, led Bradley to the Valley regular season title last year, has been a huge factor for them. Because he can shoot threes, he can score inside, can score over his left shoulder, right shoulder. I know he's a guy that I was interested in, too, when they end up taking Ben Cricky and Mast end up at Nebraska. It's going to be fun to watch those two match up with the Hawks and Nebraska coming to the Carver Hawkeye. But I think when you look at Purdue, that is a team that's, it's become very apparent. They're very dominant on Edie playing well. And if somehow you can take him out of the game or reduce his effectiveness, you got a chance to beat them. So I don't know if this Purdue team is, you know, a Final Four team like a lot of us were talking about earlier in the year.
Yeah, Nebraska's next game, as you referred to, Kevin, is at Iowa Friday night. And Nebraska, two out of the three losses have come on the road. Got buried at Wisconsin. Could it happen Friday night?
I think it's going to be a great matchup. And we talked last week about this is a three-game stretch for the Hawks that was really huge. They got the Rutgers win, Nebraska at Carver, and then they go to Minnesota. So it's a chance to kind of make up some lost ground for the Hawkeyes. But they're going to have to be able to defend better. They did it against Rutgers. Can they carry that into this game? And I tell you, that Tominaga, he is a rock star in his home nation of Japan. And he is a really fun player to watch. The Hawks are going to have to somehow get him under control. Will be Tony Perkins, a number of guys that can do it. Be interesting to watch what the Hawks' game plan is in this one.
8:35 tip-off on a Friday night.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it, man. Especially if you're a fan of high school basketball.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And there won't be, I don't know how many people are going to show up. They showed up last night. They always do at Hilton for Iowa State and Houston. Iowa State went up 14-0 in that game, and Houston couldn't even they couldn't get shots off. They were turning the ball over left and right. To me, Iowa State had a lot to do with it, but I think it was a really good spot in the schedule to play Houston. Their first ever Big 12 road game. I'm not sure they were ready for that stage. They looked nervous. They just did not look ready to go. It's going to help them in the long run, but I think that was a perfect time for Iowa State to get the Cougars.
Well, Iowa State had their backs against the wall. That loss to Oklahoma didn't play well, and so you kind of felt that they were going to rebound. This is a pretty resilient and tough Cyclone team. And it's surprising that Kelvin Sampson team would not be ready to go out of the gate. That's just not characteristic of his teams. And you know, we saw the same thing over the weekend with Cincinnati going into BYU, a team you really like. You know, BYU sitting at 0-2 in the Big 12. And as the Texas SID said to me, there's going to be a lot of Big 12 teams, a lot of good Big 12 teams. They're going to be 1-3 when this thing starts, because that league is brutal if you look at those schedules that you've got to play.
Kevin, big doings tonight in Des Moines. Tell us about it.
Well, again, let's see if the Drake can bounce back, because their game Sunday at Belmont, they got taken to the woodshed in the second half. And Gillespie, one of the star guards for Belmont, did not play. It was kind of the opposite of last year when Drake went into Belmont without Tucker DeVries and they manhandled Belmont. This is the reverse. But this is a game, if anybody's going to slow down this Indiana State team, it's going to have to be Drake. The problem Drake has run into, Mark, is with Roman Penn gone, the all-time career assist leader at Drake, Tucker DeVries has had more ball handling and more facilitating in his game, so he's not as free to score. He's not doesn't have a setup guy. So they're kind of playing through him more, and he's trying to share it with his teammates. He almost needs to get more selfish. And the problem with Indiana State, as you saw with Northern Iowa, they can score quick. They can score a lot of ways. And they can score inside, outside. It's a really interesting modern-day offense that Schertz is running. I'm calling him the mad scientist. He is the Mike Leach of the Valley, because they do some really interesting things offensively and very difficult to guard. So let's hope they get a full house in the Knapp Center, because this is one of the biggest games of this early Valley season.
One of the best players that you don't know about is the 6'10 sophomore Avila for Indiana State. This guy is pretty good.
You know what, Scott? That was a recruiting battle between Northern Iowa and Indiana State. And Josh Schertz told me that Robbie Avila went into his garage three times to call Ben Jacobson and say he was coming to Northern Iowa, but he couldn't push the send button, and he ends up at Indiana State. And, yeah, he is a 6'10", how would you describe him? Some type of a unicorn, because he can shoot threes. You can play through him. He's kind of like the old Krutwig from Loyola, although he can make threes. Highly intelligent. He makes that whole offense go. So that's going to be – how does Drake match up with him? Do they put Darnell Brody on him? It'll be interesting to see how Darren DeVries game plans. Because he when he had Sturts, he did some weird things. He used to put Sturts at 6'3". He put him on Rink Mast twice last year and beat him in Arch Madness doing that. So they may pull something out of the bag here for the Bulldogs.
Kevin, which team in the Big Ten concerns you more? Three choices: Indiana, Michigan, or Michigan State?
What? Oh, I would already put Michigan. They're gone. They're done. Juwan Howard, when he had the heart surgery, they must give him a brain transplant because there's been some strange things going on there. They went back to play somewhere in Philly, and he all of a sudden said Mark Kelly is the head coach again. I mean, you just don't do that. He's just done some really odd things. We saw that when he was at Carver Hawkeye Arena. So, yeah, I think Michigan's done. I'm concerned with Michigan State because we always think Izzo can turn these teams around. I don't know if he can get this team going. They've got some real issues. So I just don't know if they're going to get going. And what was my third choice?
Oh,
Indiana.
Yeah, they're in a little bit of a lapse right now. I think that's the problem with the Big Ten. They've got, we got Purdue. I think Wisconsin's emerging as the second-best team. The bottom's better. The middle's kind of muddling right now, and that's going to hurt the Big Ten when it comes to NCAA bid time. They're not going to get the 8 or 9 in that they were getting in the past.
Well, yeah, they've already dropped down to 6 in Joe Lunardi, latest bracketology. It is a strange league this year. Wisconsin loses tonight. There'll be nobody without a loss 4 games in to the Big Ten season. I think it's just a situation where Team A can beat Team B on any given night, no matter where this thing is being played. Look at Minnesota. They win on the road. Gophers have won 7 in a row. Nobody thought they were going to be any good. And they're 3-1 in the league. Can Northwestern win at Penn State tonight? I don't know. But the Cats got to, if they're going to distance themselves from other teams in the Big Ten, they got to start winning some road games to go along with these good home wins.
Well, and your point of Minnesota, they handed Nebraska a hefty loss. Also, one of those road losses you mentioned about the Cornhuskers. But I agree with you guys. It's just kind of we had Purdue penciled in to win this league, and they probably still will. But they keep showing some flaws in that Boilermaker. They're not the dominant team we thought they were going to be. But I tell you what, guys, we're seeing a lot of parity in college basketball. Last night, the football season ended on Monday night. We had some fantastic games throughout the nation last night. You just already referenced Iowa State and Houston, Purdue and Nebraska, but they were all over the league. And, of course, I had that Texas Cincinnati game, which went down to the last buzzer. Now, here's one for you guys. Cincinnati is up 1 and missed the free throws, and there's 12 seconds left. Cincinnati has a foul to give and a timeout left. They don't do either. Max A. Smith knocks one in with 6 seconds left, and they don't even call a timeout to get up court. I thought it was Wes Miller, who's one of the brightest young minds in college basketball. I thought he made 2 big mistakes in that.
I would agree. I would agree. And you mentioned parity. No doubt 1 and 2 go down last night. I say the team that they won the national championship last year, and it seems like nobody is even looking at them or talking about them, and that is Hurley and UConn. All they keep doing is winning and winning and winning, and they're probably going to be number 2, maybe even number 1 next week.
Well, Scott, when I listen to these podcasts, Field of 68, a couple others, they are all talking up UConn, that they could be the first to be a repeat champion since Florida did it in, the early 2000s. So those people are talking them up pretty well. What's interesting is, the metrics love teams like Houston. BYU is up there big in the metrics. And that's what, we've hashed that net back and forth. There's just some things that those metrics analytics like and some they don't. In the end, dude, you got to go out on the court and play, win the game. So, I think it's going to be another great year. And these league races, not only the Big Ten, Big 12, the unfortunate thing about the Big 12 is they're only playing an 18-game schedule. I can't wait for them to go to a 20-game league schedule, maybe to 22. And think about this. We did this graphic last year. Texas leaves, Oklahoma leaves, but they bring in Arizona. Arizona number 8 in the polls right now. Colorado has got a huge upside. Arizona State should get it going. They've got a lot of resources and, you know, a very solid Utah team. So this Big 12 is going to be like the SEC version of football once they get this league put together. And that's what the Big 12 is trying to do. They want to be the marquee league in college basketball. I think they're headed that way with the additions they have next year.
Is Kansas the de facto number one right now?
Yeah, but they're going to get some losses. I mean, TCU would have beat them again in Allen Fieldhouse, except for you saw the call.
Brutal call.
Yeah. And they're saying if that guard would not have stopped, they would have let him play on with a five-on-four. But since he stopped and looked back, then the fast break supposedly was over, and they blew the whistle and went and reviewed that call, which became, I believe, was a flagrant, wasn't it? It was
Yep. Two
shots, and Kansas got the ball back. But how many times have we seen those strange calls happen? The ghost of Allen Fieldhouse.
Or just that team with Kansas on the front of their uniform. One or the other. I get you. Before we let you go, my last question for you, Kevin. Is the Mountain West a better league than the Big Ten this year? I think it is.
Boy, that's a great question. You know, they're talking about 5 teams from the Mountain West in the NCAA right now. That is a great question. I think we're going to have to wait about 2 weeks to look at that one again. Here's the problem with the Mountain West. You know, they kind of face the same thing that some of these other conferences that aren't in the Power Six, as we throw the Big East in there, as far as getting scheduling done and getting those marquee wins that get their net numbers up there. So for them to get more than 5 is going to be difficult. 4 is probably what they're going to end up with. And, again, because the analytics, I think you're going to see the Big Ten with 7 teams in. So based on that, I'd say the Big Ten is probably a better strength league top to bottom, because there's some bad teams at the bottom of the Mountain West. Their top is really good.
Really good.
Led by our guy, Ali Frokmanesh, the assistant at Colorado State.
Yeah, they dropped a tough one last night, though. Colorado State did, so late in that one. Do yourself a favor, watch Mountain West basketball, ladies and gentlemen.
I tell you what, Scott, I called a number of games there years ago. I went to Wyoming, went to Boise State, a couple other schools out there. It's a great environment, and you know, they're college towns, and they follow people much like we saw at Hilton. So it's really a fun league.
Really is. Really is. All right, man. Where are you heading off this weekend?
Well, I got UIC tonight, so luckily my United flight from Cedar Rapids was on time, so I'm heading up 380 North right now. I've got UIC against the Panthers on the Panther Network, that I think goes on statewide linear. So I'm basically going to, like, slip a tie on and jump in front of the camera when I get there. And then I've got a big one Saturday. This is a big week for Drake, guys. They had Belmont Sunday, which they slipped up on. Indiana State at home, I have them against Southern Illinois, the surprise team in the Valley, which has the second leading scorer in the nation, Xavier Johnson. Drake has to go in the Banterra Center Saturday, probably other than the Knapp. I talked with Brad Wells about today, where's the most difficult arenas in the Valley? Right now, I think it's the Banterra at Southern. Knapp Center, if they get people in there. Belmont's pretty good, but they don't get a big crowd if there's another event going in Nashville.
It is Vegas.
Yes. I think the Titans were playing the game out there Sunday, so we didn't have much of a crowd. But that's a great addition to the Valley. And if Murray State ever gets it going, guys, I mean, they seat 10,000-plus in that arena, and this town has about 17,000, but they follow their basketball huge. So Steve Prohm, give him a couple more years, and I think that's going to be one of the great environments in the Valley.
All right. Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it. We'll talk next Thursday. Looking forward to it.
And we'll have some more upsets to talk about next Thursday, guys. So have a good one.
You bet. Coach Kevin Lehman joining us usually on Thursdays, Wednesday today with our Off the Glass segment right here on 1600 ESPN. We'll take a break, come back, a few texts, and Bowling Night in America. We'll get you ready for that when we return.
there's a reason people are joining the movement behind Nikki Haley.
She's a very, very successful governor.
Haley shows us what American foreign policy looks like with a spine.
Your family deserves a president with grit and grace, a different style, not a name from the past. Nikki Haley will secure our border, restore our economy, and make our nation respected once more. Listen to Nikki Haley.
Our moment is now. Our mission is clear. Let's save our country and secure our future, and let's move forward together toward our destiny in a strong and proud America.
Iowa, it's time to caucus. Go to NikkiHaley.com/Iowa to learn more. And on Monday, January 15th, don't forget to caucus for a new generation of conservative leadership. That's NikkiHaley.com/Iowa.
I'm Nikki Haley, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Nikki Haley for president.
Some people just know that the best rate for you is a rate based on you with Allstate. Not one based on the guy in post-game traffic watching the post-game highlights while trying to make a left turn out of the very busy post-game parking lot. Why would you pay a rate based on anyone else? Get a rate based on you with DriveWise in the Allstate app.
Not available in California, subject to terms and conditions. Some states' participation DriveWise allows Allstate to use your driving data for purposes of rating. While in some states, a rate could increase with high-risk driving, safer drivers will save with DriveWise. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
For the ones who get it done, the most important part is the one you need now. And the best partner is the one who can deliver. That's why millions of maintenance and repair pros trust Grainger, because we have professional-grade supplies for every industry, even hard-to-find products. And we have same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders. But most importantly, we have an unwavering commitment to help keep you up and running. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league. But they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids. The official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
Back with you to wrap things up here on a Wednesday edition of the Gym Class. Mark Ironside will join us. We'll preview Iowa, Nebraska wrestling coming up tomorrow and more on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class program. Couple texts to get to. Cyclone Tim says Emelon was aware of the double team coming at him. So if that was the case, then great basketball IQ by him. And hey, great shot. As the shot clock went down. I'm not sure on the rules. I just asked Spencer about that, the rules on training coaches in the National Football League. I know, according to the Titans, there were a lot of different hoops that they would have had to go through to do so. They just thought it would be better to go this other route. And 31-48 saying, great investment for Pat McAfee. Got him on ESPN. So, and then he kicks Aaron Rodgers off to the side. All right, Mark. One of the great rivalries in all of sports is revisited again tonight. It is a Bowling Night in America preview brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids.
Yeah, and a little snowstorm won't prevent that from happening. It's the Rusty Nails and the Pen Pals getting together again for rights to the Schmedium May City Bowl jacket, a dandy at that. Lanes 21 and 22 is the big matchup. The Pals off to a pretty good start in the second half.
Pals are hot right now. Only 2 weeks into the second half, but they are warm. And we are not. So maybe we are basking in the glow of our first half championship. I don't know, but we'll try her again tonight against our good friends, the Pen Pals. And yes, guys, I know you're listening down the street. The Schmedium satin jacket is in the car and ready to go.
As it should be. If you like reservations for tonight, give May City Bowl a call, 362-0136.
Yes, or stop on by the pro shop. All right, tomorrow Mark Ironside joins us. Have a great night, everybody. Spencer on sports next from 4 until 6, taking us up to Cyclone Women's Basketball tonight at 6 o'clock. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
Hear that? The sound of water being poured on 800 degrees.